We are in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 9 through 14. Ecclesiastes 12, 9 through 14. Let's read the text and then we'll pray, seeking the Lord's help to say some things that from this text would be for our spiritual good and, of course, more importantly, for His glory. Verse 9. And, moreover, because the preacher, that is Solomon, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even the words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of the assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And that's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. You'll notice something interesting about verse number 14. What is interesting about verse number 14? It's the last verse. We started this series back in December 8th, 2020. That was 34 sermons ago. Today is sermon 35, and it is the final sermon in this series as we go through the book of Ecclesiastes. It is a celebration, I think, that you have endured this journey through this book. And I am grateful and thankful for your continued faithfulness as we have worked through this book, some of it very, very difficult. But it is a little sad that we will not come on Wednesday nights and have sit before Solomon and let Solomon share the wisdom that we need to live in this fallen world. We'll sit before someone else teaching us, and we will miss hearing from, or at least I will miss hearing from Solomon. He is been especially helpful for me. It is amazing that you make such an effort to get through a book, and then you're sad when you reach the end. And you know the fellowship that you have enjoyed with the writer of the book has come to an end. Well, as we come to the end of the book, we have the conclusion, or the point of the whole book, of what Solomon has been trying to communicate to us. It really is, I think, Solomon's commentary on what he has written. If I had to title it, I would title it the commentary on the book of Ecclesiastes. So let's go ahead and jump into the text, see what God has for us here, and pray the Lord will teach us and help us. Did I pray? It's sad when I can't remember and you can't remember either. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for letting us have it. We pray, God, as we try to unpack it a little bit, that you will help us to see it and to understand it. Make us eager and willing to receive it. Whatever it says, help us to believe it. And God, may it be good for us. May it be spiritually good for us. And may it bring glory to your name. And may you help us as we end this book, and thank you for it. And thank you for your help every step of the way. You have been kind to teach us and to help us on these Wednesday nights. And we are grateful. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Verse 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yet he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. So the preacher is Solomon, and he was wise. Wisdom given to him by God. However, Solomon did not always live up to the wisdom he received. He failed to always obey the wisdom he received, and he failed to always apply the wisdom he received. And we are like him. We fail to live up to, we fail to obey, and we fail to apply the wisdom of God's word, although we have God's word. Solomon was a wise man who had been given wisdom. He sought with his wisdom to teach the people. Knowledge or wisdom. He gave heed, good heed. The idea there is he placed the truth on the scales. He weighed them to determine their value. And then he sought out ways to communicate these truths. And the way he did it was primarily through writing many proverbs. And he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes in the same way. It was for the purpose of communicating or teaching the reader or the hearer the wisdom that he had received from God. Even if he didn't always obey it, he knew it was true. And his task, Solomon's task with these writings was, he was to understand the truth, he was to study it, he was to ponder it, and he was to communicate it. It's a pretty good little systematic truth here. He was to study the truth. There was to be out of his study a logical and structural arrangement of these truths. And then there was to be the communication of those truths, or the teaching of those truths, or the writing of those truths. Look at verse number 10. He sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, the words of truth. So he studies the word, he ponders the word, he arranges those thoughts, and then in communicating those thoughts and teaching those thoughts, he He finds words. He seeks out words that are acceptable. The idea here is that he finds words that are, and he clothes these truths with those words that are delightful words. He makes these truths of God beautiful and luxurious. Now, let me stop here for a minute and say that if anyone is involved in teaching the Word of God or preaching the Word of God, they need to follow these steps. There must be of everyone who teaches the Word of God or preaches the Word of God, there must be the study of the truth. That's the point in which most people cut the corners. They either don't study much or they don't study at all. But the foundational task of a teacher, any teacher of Scripture, the foundational task of any preacher of the Scripture is to study the truth, to study the Word of God for himself. Most preachers take a text, read the text, depart from the text, and never return to the text. Say amen. They just want to say what they want to say, and they find some text to attach it to. To study the text is to know the text. To know what the words mean in the Greek and the Hebrew, and to determine what the meaning of the words are in the context in which they are written. To study is to understand what God is saying and to come to some conclusion in your own heart and in your own mind. These are the words of God, and this is what God is saying. Someone told me that a guy was called to preach, and so I listened to him on the internet, and he preached a message on a passage and missed the meaning of the text completely. He emphasized one single word in the text. I forget what it was now, but he obviously didn't study to find out the meaning of the word, because what he was saying wasn't the meaning of the word. And what he wanted to do, actually, was tell people that they needed to get busy doing something in the church. But that's not what the text was saying at all. In our day of electronics, all he had to do was download a Bible on his phone, on his tablet, or on his computer, and touch the word, and it would display for him the definition of the word and would save him. I know why he did it, because if he'd have done it, it would have ruined the whole sermon. Say amen. He didn't do that. There has to be the study of the Word of God, and it must be studied until the one who is studying it comes to a good, not perfect, we can't get perfect, but comes to a good understanding of what God is saying. That's the first thing. And it's the thing that most teachers or preachers don't spend much time doing. Then secondly, there is an effort to be made to communicate the truth that has been studied in a way that articulates that truth in a clear an accurate way so that the hearer can understand it. Say amen. It is to make the truth plain so that it can be easily received by the hearer, to arrange it in such a way that it can be understood. I've heard professors, and I've heard learned theologians who I know understood the text, but when they were done speaking, I didn't understand the text any more than I did when I started. They were shooting over my head, say amen. So you have to articulate the truth in a clear and accurate way to make it more easily received and understood by the hearer. And finally, he must tell the truth. Study the truth. Assemble things so that you may express the truth in an understandable way. And then tell the truth. Teach the truth. Preach the truth. Don't dance around the truth. Don't try to avoid the truth. Don't hide the truth. State the truth. This is what the Word of God says. I'm not in a position to change it. I just have to tell you what it says. You don't need my thoughts. You don't need my opinions. You don't need my political views. You don't need my preferences. You need the truth as God has recorded it in the Scripture. That's what Solomon says he did when he wrote the book of Proverbs and the book of Ecclesiastes, and of course, probably the book of Psalms. Look at verse 11. The words of the wise. Now, he studied, right? He pondered these things. He assembled them. He arranged those thoughts in ways that it could be understood. Then he expressed those thoughts. And here's what he says about what he wrote, what he studied, what he communicated. And the words of the wise are as what? Goads. And as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Two analogies made by Solomon concerning wisdom as it is studied, as it is taught, as it is preached. And what he says here is that the truth is not always pleasant. It's not always pleasant to communicate. It's not always pleasant to hear. I would say much of the time the words of God are like goads. You remember what a goad is, right? It's a sharp stick that was used to poke an animal to get that animal to go in a certain direction. If the animal was going in the wrong direction, you took that goad, you took that sharp stick, you poked that animal to get him turned in the right direction. Solomon says the Word of God is like. The Word of God is often painful. Say amen. But it always turns us in the right direction. That is what Solomon's aiming at in his writings. To arrest us as we go in the wrong direction and to move us toward the right direction. The Word of God rebukes, it reproves. It corrects. And it is painful many times to believe something only to find out that what you believe is not exactly what the Bible teaches. You've heard it. You've heard it taught and you've received it without much thought. And then when you look at it, you find out that what you have sort of believed isn't exactly what the Bible teaches, but the Word, not our preconceived thoughts, the Word always points us in the right direction. I may point you in the wrong direction. The Word never points you in the wrong direction. And sometimes going in the right direction is painful. The second analogy here is that the Word of God is not only like goads, but it's like nails fastened by the masters of the assembly. In other words, he says not only is there a stinging nature of the Word, but there is a stabilizing nature of the Word as well. The idea here is in this fastening, the nails fastened, the idea is to fix something in a certain position, to stabilize it, to make it sturdy. That's what the Word of God does. It corrects wrong direction, points you in the right direction. Sometimes that's painful, but the Word of God always makes you sturdy and establishes you. The Word makes us sturdy so we're not tossed about to and fro by every wind of doctrine, every new fad that comes along, every new thing that comes down the pipe. We're not going that direction because we are established in the Word. And when we are grounded in the Word of God, we are stable in the truth, therefore immovable and solid. The foundation that makes us solid, the foundation that gives us some footing, is the Word of God. We don't jump on every fad. We don't buy every badly written book that comes along. We know the truth. We love the truth. And we won't have anything but the truth. And then Solomon says this. All of it comes from one shepherd. Solomon says, I've studied the wisdom. I have pondered over the wisdom that was given to me by God. I have arranged it and compiled it, and I found words in which to express it, and then I expressed it. I wrote it. Those words sometimes were painful, but they are always words which solidify and make solid. But even though I wrote it, he says, even though I studied it, even though I pondered it, even though I made the arrangements of it, even though I communicated it, it did not come from me. It came from God. I hope you understand that. Right? We are to stay in the Word of God in every sermon. Right? Because you have one shepherd. Yes? I'm the under shepherd. I'm not your shepherd. I'm the under shepherd. You have one shepherd. My task as the under shepherd is always to point you to your shepherd. My task as the under shepherd is always to communicate to you His words, not mine. My task is to point you to Him and His Word. And if I don't do that, then you don't listen to me. Say amen. You don't listen to me because I'm not the one you look to. He's the one you look to. Everything in the Word of God, written by many men over many years, comes from one shepherd, God Almighty. Look at verse number 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Be admonished, beware, be warned, be careful. In addition to the Word of God, in addition to the Bible that you hold in your hands tonight, there is no end to the writing of books. No end to them. There are, I'm told, 1 million books published every year in the United States. 1 million books published every year. It would be impossible for us to keep up with 1% of that. Right? I mean, if you were to keep up with 1% of 1 million published books a year, you'd have to read 27 books a day. How you doing with that? Some don't read 27 books in a lifetime. And Solomon makes this is interesting, Solomon makes this observation about the no end of books before the printing press was invented. When writing a book took some time and some effort. There were more books, he says, than you can possibly read. The writing of books has no end. And how many of those 1 million books published a year are good, sound, and helpful? Not many. Most of the books published today, especially in the realm of Christianity, are endless nonsense, endless talking, endless error, and the more that is published, the more drivel that comes out of them. Most of what I read, in addition to the Word of God, is from dead people. Right? Now, I don't see dead people. I read dead people. Right? And there's some value in them. But Solomon is right when he says, much study, or better, much devotion to books is a weariness of the flesh. Why? Because they're nothing but the words of men. If they're not helpful in helping us understand the book, they become wearisome to the flesh. There is only one book that are the words of God. There is only one book that has life. There's one book that never grows old. Don't become devoted to books. Be devoted to the book, the Word of God. Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. When everything has been said and everything has been heard, this is what Solomon says. Fear God, keep His commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. Fear God. What does that mean, fear God? It means to know God. It means to recognize God. It means to love God, to worship God, to honor God, to reverence God, to bow before God, to submit to God, to obey God, to humble yourselves before God. That's how we are to live. Fearing God. Our life is lived knowing God, recognizing God, loving God, worshiping God, honoring God, reverencing God, bowing our knees to God, submitting to God, obeying God. That's how we are to live. We are to live every day in awe of such a wonderful and fabulous and great God. And the fear of God always leads to obedience to God. Amen. The fear of God is to obey the Word. The knowledge of God, the worship of God, the honoring of God, all of that is fleshed out in the keeping of His commandments. Show me a person who doesn't care about obeying the Word of God, and I'll show you a person who has no fear of God. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And where there is fear, there will be obedience to the Word. If you love God, you will keep His commandments. Isn't that what He says? If you worship God, you will obey Him. If you honor God, you will obey Him. And if you don't obey Him, You don't love Him. You don't worship Him and you don't honor Him. If we do not submit to His Lordship, we do not fear Him. You know, sometimes you go around and you see, that used to be more prevalent than it is today, you see on the back of these trucks and things the little slogan, "No fear." Well, no fear, no obedience. You're to fear God. You're to have much fear of God. And that fear of God is to lead you to obeying Him. So our duty to God is simple, right? Pretty simple. Our duty, our responsibility, our goal in life, our purpose in life is found in these two simple things. Fear God and keep His commandments. What am I supposed to do, preacher? You're to fear God and keep His commandments. Well, I'm trying to find purpose in my life. I'm trying to find fulfillment. Preacher, what am I going to do? Fear God and keep His commandments. Every man has that duty. And it is all the duty we have. It is why He created us. And it is why we are still here. Fear God and keep His commandments. And the problem with lost people is they don't fear God and they don't keep His commandments. And that brings us to verse 14. For God, why should you fear God and keep His commandments? Because God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So, if we believe there is no God, then we would also believe there is no judgment. If there's no God and there's no judgment, then everything is vain, empty, and meaningless. Say amen. Whatever we're doing here now is meaningless. If there's no judgment, it doesn't matter what we do, good or bad, it doesn't matter. In fact, nothing matters if there's no judgment. Nothing matters. If this life is all there is, nothing matters. You might think it matters, it doesn't. If we live and we die and that's all there is, it doesn't matter. If there's not a judgment day where good and bad is going to be judged, it doesn't matter. If there's no God and no judgment, nothing here matters. Right? You see what the atheist is creating? A life on earth that means nothing. But if there is a God, then there will be a judgment. Say amen. No God, no judgment, nothing matters. But if there is a God, there is judgment. Everything is going to be judged from the largest to the smallest. And that means everything we do say matters. Everything we do. Everything we don't do. Nothing public, nothing private will be lost in His examination. Whether it be good or whether it be bad. If there is no God, there's no judgment, nothing matters, everything's utter uselessness. But if there is a God, there will be a judgment, and everything we do here matters. Everything. And you say, well, that don't matter. Yes, it does, because there is a God, and there is a judgment, and every work is going to be brought in judgment, every secret thing, whether it be good or bad. Say amen. That's Solomon's message. People will tell you that when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says nothing matters. No, he doesn't. Solomon says there's a God who sits in the heavens. He rules and reigns over all things, and he judges all things. Therefore, everything matters. And if you here tonight believe there is a God, fear him, obey him, and know that everything we do every day matters. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray.